So I'm here to talk about vision, right? Having vision. The vision that we're talking about is not the vision that you see with your physical eyes, all right? When we talk about vision, the vision that I'm going to talk about today is the vision that you conceive, not seeing it physically, but the vision that you conceive, that you see with your spiritual eyes, okay? Having a vision. Each one of us has to have a vision. I don't care what you do in life. If you have no vision, you have no direction. The vision is that focal point that no matter what happens, that is where you're headed. Okay, so what is vision? Okay, having a vision. Vision is defined as a concrete picture of an aspired feasible future. So a couple of things you could take from that. Number one, it has to be in the future, whether it's two minutes from now, 2 hours from now, a day from now, a week from now, it has to be in the future. It has to be concrete. It's a picture. It is a picture. It has to be aspired. Where do you want to be 2 hours from now? You have a vision as to where you want to be in 2 hours from now. Maybe after this program, you're going to be in Newark somewhere, at work, at a party. Well, you already have it pictured in your head, right? I am going to be in Newark, New Jersey, after this program, in 2 hours from now. That is vision. You already have it lined up in your head. The picture is already there. No matter what happens, you're going to be there. Come rain, come shine, 2 hours, you are going to be there. That is vision. Now, what do you need to have vision? There are two important things you need to have vision. And those are faith and love. Now, let me tell you this. The two most important problems that humanity have are the opposite of these two, faith and love. Now, the opposite of faith is fear. And the opposite of love is what? Selfishness. Now, those are the two important problems we have in life. If you take away those two problems, when you replace fear with faith and replace selfishness with love, we have no more problems in the world. Okay? Now, fear is that thing that makes someone to go steal. You know what? You have fear that even if I work 100 years from now, I will not be able to achieve that. That's why you go and steal. Okay? Now, fear is what inspires someone to embezzle. Because, you know, if you work hard, you will not be able to make that. However, if you have faith, when you replace that fear with faith, you'll be able to get there. So when your vision is grounded in faith, no matter what happens, you are looking at that vision. No matter what obstacles are on your way, you are going to get there. You believe in it, and you are going to get there. Praise the Lord. Now, what is faith? So when looking at faith, I looked at a couple of things. Number one, faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. As I spoke to you earlier, it is not seen. It's not something you see with your naked eyes, but it's conceived. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Now, and also when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, this is referring to Abraham. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That is faith. If you believe in your own physical self, you are bound to fail. But when you are grounded in faith, on that solid rock, who is the architect and builder? Who is God? You can never go wrong. Now, I've been inspired by David, right? All my life. When you go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, if we could get that on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32, right? If we'll get that on the screen, yeah. If we can read that, don't worry about the Philistine. David told Saul, I will go fight them. Look at that, okay? Look at that. Do not worry about the Philistines. David told Saul, I will fight them. Who is this guy? You're talking about Goliath, 9 feet. I mean, think about that. It's like a monster, right? And you're looking at him, and of course, fear will get a hold of you. Imagine me going into the ring and I'm facing Mike Tyson. He's going to kill me, right? But this guy had the audacity, you know? That is faith. So I've been inspired by David. Faith is that audacity to travel where no one has traveled. Where people have traveled before and they've failed, and faith is that thing that drives you to go forward. You know what? I don't care who has traveled this road and failed before, but I'm going. Faith is that audacity to step out of the house when everybody's saying, you know what? Oh, yeah, coronavirus is killing. It's faith that keeps you grounded. Okay? That is what drives you. So your vision has to be driven by faith. If it's not on God, you are bound to fail. I mean, like, what we define as success might be misleading because people define success as someone who makes money and you drive a car and then we look at it. But look at, you know, if you sit back and look 2-3 years later or 10 years later, all of that is gone. But when your vision is grounded in faith, it lasts forever. It transcends generations. Now, I tell you what. I was born in Nigeria. Now, I've seen a lot of politicians, right? A lot of them today. You know, back then, they were, you know, powerful men, you know, had a lot of money. Some of them today look pathetic. Because money is gone. Their kids aren't doing too well. They don't even have the money they used to have before. They, you know, things are in shambles. You know why? Because they did not have the vision that was grounded in faith. They did not have that. Now, think about you driving to Texas, right? Yeah, we live in the metropolitan areas where there's a lot of street lights, right? But as you travel to Texas or you're traveling to California, right? The more you start going beyond the city limits into the country roads, there will be no more lights, right? Now, when you're driving at night to California, you know you're going to California, right? But it's dark. And what's leading you is your headlamp. Guess what? Faith is that thing that tells you, even though I'm seeing only 100 feet ahead of me, but I'm going to California. You only see 100 feet when you're with your headlamp. When there's no street light, that's all you see. But faith is that thing that keeps you going, knowing fully well, I'm going to California. It's 1,000 miles away, but I am going to get there. And you keep driving. You don't know what to expect in the next 2 miles, but you know, I am seeing 100 feet ahead of me, but I'm going. I'm going to get there. Praise the Lord. Now, the next component that I talked about is love. What is love? Love is unselfish, loyal concern for the good of another. And it's very important because the whole thing about Christianity, about Jesus coming, it's all about love. Everything you do in life, in your ministry, in your job, in your household, it has to be based on love. Just for a minute, sit down and you count yourself out of it. It's not just by yourself, others. When you're planning your career, for example, when you're planning your family, your job, the ministry that you are heading, it has to be based on love. Now, if it's not based on love, that means it's selfish. Are you the leader of that ministry because you just want to be called the leader? You want people to look up to you for the title. If that's the reason why you are inhabiting or occupying that position, it is not based on love, and you shouldn't be there. So having a vision means everything that you do, as far as winning souls, as far as maybe the prison ministry, is based on love, because you have a vision that we want to go to the prison yards and give people hope. You want to go to the prison yard and get people rehabilitated, you know, rehab people, you know, just get them out of that situation. Yeah, you know, sometimes we think about it. Oh, yeah, they're criminals anyway. They have nothing to offer to society. That's a lie. You know why? Not all of them. If we work hard and we have a vision, we could guide them to be able to come back into the society and be useful members of the society. You know why? Moses was a killer too, right? He killed people. Paul, he was a murderer. But most of the books in the Bible that we read today were written with the inspiration of the Holy Ghost by Paul. So, having a vision is seen through the eyes of love. What vision do you have for your family? What vision do you have for the car that you want to drive? Is it based on love? And is it grounded on faith? What do you want your kids to be when they grow up? Do you want them to marry from Yoruba or from your community? That's selfish, because you don't know what they want. God gives you freedom to do whatever you want. So why should you limit your kids as to what they need to do in life? Do you want your kids to be all doctors? I want my kids, you brag about it, I want my kids to be all doctors. Is that the vision that you want for your kids? So that way you can walk around and be the father of doctors. That's all? Is that all? No. The right vision to have is to tell God, I want my kids to grow up with the fear of God and be contributing members to the society. If they grow up with the fear of the Lord, they will marry the right people. If they grow up with the fear of the Lord, they will find the right career. As a matter of fact, if you want them to all be doctors, who's going to be Pastor Chinedu of 20 years from now? Yeah. Exactly. Someone has to succeed him, right? Someone has to do that job in the future. Yeah. Is this a phrase in Igbo, right? If you all dance, right, who's going to play the drums? If we all play the drums, who's going to do the dancing? So let them find, if they have the fear of God, they're going to do things in life, find a career path. And if they want to be a doctor, they have to be because they want to help people, elderly people, or be able to reach rural areas where doctors haven't. I'm inspired by my brother, Chibuzo, for example, who goes on medical mission. That's love. If you are a doctor or you're becoming a doctor because you want to help people, that's the right thing to do. That's the right vision. You know, Nigerian people are funny, right? That car that you want to buy, is it inspired by love or by faith? You know, the right inspiration for your vision about a car that you want to drive should be based on fuel efficiency, all right? Helping the environment, all right? Is it going to help my family? Because my family, I have a family of four, or I have a family of five. But in Nigeria, right, a lot of people are inspired by how many cars they have. But mind you, someone could have 10 cars, right? Those 10 cars, five don't work. And they're all used. They're all used cars, right? But they are driven not by faith or love, just because of what the society says. The more cars you have, people respect you, right? There's a cardic or end of discussion. It's a Honda Accord, right? That's what Nigerians call them. End of discussion. Are you inspired to buy that car? Because you want to end the discussion about cars. Once you park it, end of discussion. Right? And a lot of people bought those cars. A lot of people bought them. Right? Guess what? The year after that, the new model, discussion continued. Now, are you buying the car because you want to continue the discussion? Or are you buying it because it is going to be useful for your vision as it comes to your family? So those things that we have to look at, it has to be based on love. I know I'm taking a lot of time. Please forgive me. Look, the next greater love, the next slide. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. So when you are laying down your vision, it has to be based on love. And Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from 4 to 8, we've gone through this before. It's love is patient, it's kind, it does not envy or boast, it's not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own ways, on, and it endures all things, right? If you have a vision based on love, you have to endure. It's not halfway, you're bailing out, you're giving up, and try to find ways to cheat. A lot of times, the reason why people, like I said it before, the reason why people cheat in exams is because you've already looked down inside of yourself and you said, you've concluded, if I study on my own, I will never pass this test. You know? But that's fear. But if you have faith, and if I spend more time, I'm going to get there, definitely it's based on love and it's based on faith. So it endures. So faith is in love also. Praise the Lord. There are elements of vision. Next slide. That said, it must be concrete, right? It has to be grounded on faith. And then before I say this, let me tell you, the devil also has a vision. Do we know that? The devil has a vision. His vision is destruction. His vision is to corrupt, to steal, to make everyone homosexuals. And when we have that, guess what? We have no future, right? The devil has a vision. So if the devil has a vision with his cohorts, why not you? Of course, as a child of God, your own vision will not be corrupted. It will be vision based on love and faith. Praise the Lord. It must be pictured. You have to create that image in your head. Looking forward to it. No matter what happens, you have to have that picture of what California looks like or Texas. That place where you want to be. That office that you would like to occupy. You have to have a clear picture in your head. It must be inspired. It must be sought. You have to do something to get there. It must be feasible, meaning it has to be attainable or doable by faith. Like I mentioned before, it must be in the future. Mission or missions must be pursued, all geared toward that vision. You want to be a doctor? Right? In order for you to be a doctor, you have to start spending some time studying. Understand anatomy, biology, physics, chemistry, or whatever the case might be. Those are the missions towards getting to your vision. Next slide. You have to count the cost. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Can we get that? Luke chapter 14, verse 28. This is a builder. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Thank you. Now, this is, when I'm talking about counting the cost, it's not always monetary, right? The cost, for those of us who come from economics, right? It could be opportunity cost. What are you giving up? It's not always about money. If you want to be a doctor, for example, or you want your, in your ministry, you want your underlings to act a certain way. You want to improve them. That means that's a cost. You have to spend your time. That's a cost. It's not always monetary, okay? You have to spend time coaching, trying to understand them. What are their strengths? What's their weakness? What's the opportunity there? If you don't, for you to manage someone successfully, you have to understand what motivates them. Is it food? I've been a manager and I've managed people. Some of them, the first day, you have to, you know, start getting to know them. That's why you understand what motivates those people. And when you understand what motivates someone, I guarantee you, you'll be able to use that to your advantage to manage them the right way. Now, some of them are food. Some people are motivated by praise. They like to be praised publicly, you know. Some like to eat, you know. Some of them, so many things. So you have to understand that. So count the cost. Spend the time. Dedicate time. If you sleep 8 hours a day, for example, and you know you have to achieve that that vision, maybe you cut down and start sleeping four or five hours. That is the opportunity cost of you pursuing that vision. Praise the Lord. How can you enhance your vision? I have a couple of ways here that you can enhance your vision. First of all, you have to give it a name. Give it a name. Something that, you know, that'll ring a bell in your head. Whenever you remember it, it keeps reminding you of that vision. That is your destination, your final destination where you're headed. Give it a name. Yeah, and then the second one, you could use a vision board or reminders. When I worked for Merrill Lynch, of course, they come around and try to inspire us to sell more. Of course, you know, whatever I'm selling, it has to be based on the customer's needs, right? But they try to drive you, not just to, you know, mis-sell or to sell inappropriately, but to inspire you to be able to talk to more people. Because the more people you talk to, the more you are able to inspire them, or the more you are able to find out their needs and provide solutions. And now you used to hire these people from Chicago, California, all over the place to come inspire us. So they will ask you, what are you looking at? What's your next goal? Is it a car? Is it a house? Get a picture of that car or the house that you're looking for and put it next to your desk. Every morning when you come in, that's what reminds you, this is my goal. And that's what drives you. So create that picture. If you have to put it on your refrigerator, something that reminds you every day, this is where I'm headed. Do that. Now, having said that, right? Yeah, we know that even though you have the vision and you have the picture and you have all of that in place, however, there are some distractions also. If you look and go back to, we talked about David, right? David was, when he spoke up about going after Goliath, right? I just want to remind you that there are going to be some distractions when you create those goals for your, those visions for yourself. When you put that up on your, maybe if you have a roommate, when you put that up on your refrigerator, every day you put up maybe Lamborghini, it's like, hey, look at you, like, you think you can afford that? There are going to be some distractions. Remember, when David said, I'm going after Goliath, right? You know who discouraged him? His brother. Yeah, his brother said, why don't you go home, man? Look at this little kid, man. He's trying to embarrass our family over here. Come on, go home, man. Right? But he refused. So that faith has to be in it. It doesn't matter who's around. So the reason why I'm bringing that up is when you put up your vision, there are going to be some distractions. Some people will tell you, come on, man. Want to be governor of New Jersey? Have you ever seen a Nigerian being a governor? Have you ever seen a black man? There are going to be a lot of distractions. People who are going to discourage you. Now, you want to be a doctor? Some people are going to talk you down. You think you could do it? Of course, we've come across sometime, you know, in our lives, each and every one of us, we've come across people who offer unsolicited advice. You want to be a doctor? Why don't you go do nursing? They pay more money. Did I ask you? Right? Before you even start recommending, why don't you just, before a doctor gives prescription, you have to do the diagnosis, right? Why don't you talk to me first, try to understand who I am? What are my strengths? Physics? Am I good at physics? Chemistry? Biology? And I just start recommending based on your own selfish interests, based on what you think is good for you, but it may not be good for me. So that's vision. Your vision has to be grounded in faith and in love. Praise the Lord. Now, are you looking to get married? And all the women that you're looking for are the ones that have the potential to go to nursing school because they could make more money. That's selfish. Marry a woman who has the fear of God. At the end of the day, whatever she does, she will be successful. Not just nursing. You trying to marry a nurse because you could not achieve it yourself? No. Or you're trying to marry a doctor because that's the doctor that you couldn't achieve yourself? Now you're trying to fulfill it in somebody else. Are you trying to marry a woman who you are going to control? You know, you control them and you tell them what to do and, you know, and make money at the end of the week. You tell them, hey, direct deposit, put it in our account. And you use it to travel and do whatever you want. Is that the wife you want? And for the women, you're looking for a man? Or you're looking for a guy that has money? That's selfish. Look for a man that has the fear of God. That's vision. If he has money, doesn't have vision, he has nothing. Money, for me, my definition of money is decoration. It's a clothing that you're wearing. Once you take that clothing out, there's nothing else. You're naked. Nothing. It's just edifice. So we have to be mindful of that. Give it a name. Okay? So there's a couple of things that I have here. What is called, for the people who have got, next slide, please. If you've been to business school, this is something you can apply to your life. SWOT analysis, right? The S stands for something. The W stands for something. The O and the T, right? In your ministry, find out what is the strength for the S. What is the strength of your ministry? What do we have going for us? And that strength is something that you can enhance, something that you could build upon, okay? If you have a vision to be an engineer, right, what is your strength? You're good at physics. You're good at this, or you could study, and you could, that's your strength. But you could build on it, okay? Now, the next one, which is your weakness. And mind you, this is self-assessment. In order for you to have a vision and know where you are headed, you have to do a self-assessment of yourself. I'm driving to California, for example. Is my car going to get me there? My tires, are they good? Do I have enough gas? Do I have enough money to refill, you know, my tank on the way? It's a self-assessment, so you have to be mindful of these, right? Weakness. What is your weakness? Find it. Sit down and ask yourself that question. In my ministry, what is our weakness? If you don't know it, you will not be able to solve it. You have to know it, even yourself. Your weakness could be that you want to be an usher, but you're very shy. How do you overcome that? So you start spending time. Those are things, weakness is something that you can improve on. And then that presents an opportunity. Opportunities are areas that you can invest. I talked about someone wanting to be an usher. If you want to be an usher, but you're very shy, what do? It is an opportunity for you. All right, make it a point of duty. Every Sunday, you shake 50 hands, 50 people. And when you shake their hands, you know, we have a habit of when you shake people's hands, you know, you're looking, nah. The way you shake hands, you look them in the eyes. And when you do it to 50 people, the shyness will go away. But you have to challenge yourself. You have to challenge yourself. I want to be an usher. but I'm very shy. That's my weakness, but I could turn that into an opportunity. Every Sunday, greet 20 people and just greet people. Just do it seamlessly. Things will turn around. Praise the Lord. What are the threats? What are the obstacles to you achieving that vision? You have to know it. If you don't know it, you're going to run into problems. If you're buying a house, for example, what are the obstacles to you buying a house? Is it because my credit is not really good? Well, that's a threat. You could start working on it, fixing your credit. Don't you have enough money? You could start, you know, a self-assessment of yourself and knowing fully well, you know what? I'm going to have to readjust. If I'm spending money eating out, maybe I need to start cutting back and then save more towards getting that house. But you have to know the threats. Do you own a business? What are the threats facing your industry or facing your job? A self-examination of yourself will keep you informed, and you'll do the right thing. Praise the Lord. When I was finishing up, these are just pictures that I created, right? These are people who have visions. Dubai in 1980 was a desert. But the leadership of that country, they had a vision. But look at how it is today. Skyscrapers all over the place. Now, you could look at it and say, hey, they have a lot of money. No, they don't. What they did is they created an environment that allowed people to come in and invest. A lot of these buildings are not owned by people from Dubai. Investors from all over the world. Okay? My point is this. You have a vision. It doesn't matter how long it takes. From 1990 to 2017, from a desert, look at how it is today. It could be done. In your community, are you living in, you know, sometimes you talk about some cities in Irvington or, you know, some neighborhoods like Camden, New Jersey, where they tell you, oh, don't live there, you know. People have AK-47 running down the street. No, don't do it. No, but you could have a vision that, you know what, as a child of God, I'm going to go into that community and I'm going to change it. You could do it. Are you wanting to be governor of New Jersey and your vision to be a governor? What drives your vision to be a governor is to, you know, I'm going to become a leader. And all these racist white people, I'm going to give them a taste of their medicine. Is that why you want to be a governor? No, that's not based on love. The vision, what has to drive you? It has to be to make changes that affect people, to better people's lives. So all of us, we have a vision. There are opportunities in every ministry, every department that you occupy. Your job, for example. Think when you go home today, think about things that you could do differently, right? Think like an engineer, right? Average car today gives you 23 miles an hour. And then think about what can I do to make cars go fast, achieve more mileage. Think about that. Apply that in your own industry as a nurse. What can I do differently to better people's lives? Not based on money. Don't just think about the money. If you do it with love, if you do it with faith, the money will come. Praise the Lord.